that you feel like there's that block and things just don't come. And that's what happened this last week. I was sitting and I'm, Lord, you know, I know there's something you want me to give, but I just don't know what it is and I just can't seem to find it. So I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start studying your word, and I want you to bring me and show me and give me whatever it is you want me to pass on. And so up in my Bible to Revelation 17, I've been talking with another pastor about Revelation 17. Opened that passage and started just reading it and studying it, and I came to a passage where it talked about the wilderness. My Lord, you know, I kind of felt like I've been in a wilderness this week. I couldn't come up with what I wanted you to give me, so maybe this is it. And so I took that concept and just kind of searched Scripture with the idea of a wilderness. And have you all ever felt like you're in your life kind of go through a wilderness? You know, where there's that time when just you feel like you're all alone? Well, that's kind of what I want to share with you today. What Scripture says about the wilderness and that wilderness experience. And Pam, if you were in the Sabbath school down here, she kind of preached my sermon in a little condensed version without even knowing what I was going to talk about. But, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer as we begin. Father, thank you so much for your constant presence with us. And even though we don't always realize it, Lord, we should be able to, in faith, grasp that you are indeed there with us. So I pray that as we go into our study this morning, you will be with us through the presence of your Spirit, and you will lead and guide every heart in me. And I ask you to do this now. So the idea of wandering in a wilderness can be a scary thing. Have you ever seen these survival shows? You know, where so they drop somebody out in the middle of nowhere and they have to survive and get back to some type of civilization. It's kind of a scary thing if you don't know what you're doing to be in the wilderness. Think about all the things that are there, all the wild animals and bugs and the terrible things that could harm you, not to mention a lack of food and shelter necessarily. Think of all the things that aren't there many times in the wilderness. Food, water, the shelter. The wilderness can be a very harsh and lonely place. Have you ever felt like your life's a wilderness sometimes? I know I have. Many times in this world we feel alone, and going through this COVID thing, there are many, many people who have felt isolated and alone. They felt they are in this wilderness, all alone, all by themselves. Now that wilderness experience can be physical, it can be mental, it can be spiritual, or it can be a combination of all three of those things. And the wilderness can be an uncomfortable place to be sometimes. The wilderness is not usually somewhere you think you want to be, right? We like our solitude sometimes, but we're social creatures. God created us that way, and we like to be around other people. But the wilderness is not really somewhere we really think often that we really want to be. Now, the Bible talks a lot about a wilderness, and we're going to go through some of those today, not all of them, some of them. And it starts in Genesis chapter 16. So let's go to Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Genesis 16, verses 6 and 7. This is dealing with Abram at this point, and Hagar. Genesis 16, beginning in verse 6, it says, "But Abram said to Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she, talking about Hagar, fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." Now, as you recall this story, Abram had a son by Hagar, Sarai's maid, because Sarai was barren and couldn't have children, even though God had promised them that she would have a child. And so he gave Hagar to Abram to try and help God out a little bit. It's not really a good idea to help God out all the time, is it? He kind of knows what he's doing, right? But Sarai gave her maid Hagar. Ishmael, who was that son that came from that union of Abram and Hagar, had some negative consequences. And those negative consequences led Hagar, we just read, to flee into the wilderness. And as she was there in the wilderness, she was lamenting and was very upset about being out here, and she was ready to die in the wilderness, but the Lord found her there. And God told Hagar that she should go back to Sarai, her mistress. And later, we find, kind of unfortunately, the same type of experience that Hagar had again. The time came for Isaac to be born. Isaac was born. And there became this conflict between Hagar and Ishmael and Sarai and Isaac. And so the time came, Abram said, okay, it's time for you, Hagar and Ishmael, to leave. There's too much conflict here. And so let's go to Genesis 21:14. Genesis 21 and verse 14, where we find this part of the story. Genesis 21:14, it says, "And Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." So here Hagar has not one wilderness experience. She has two wilderness experiences. But in both of these experiences, now this time God didn't tell her to go back to Sarai. He told her that instead he was going to make Ishmael a great nation, just as he promised Isaac. And so both times in the wilderness, Hagar was found by God. She was rescued by God. The wilderness plays a significant story in many Bible stories. There are many people that were in that wilderness that went through a wilderness experience, so to speak. But regardless of looking at the story of Hagar and kind of the negative idea that we get from the wilderness there, it's a terrible place to be, and it's, you know, a place where people wish that they were going to die and think they're going to die. Regardless of that negative impression, the wilderness in Scripture has a positive connotation. Even in the story of Hagar and Ishmael, as I said, the wilderness is where God finds them and he gives them what they need. The wilderness was where David fled for refuge from Saul, right? The wilderness is where Elijah fled from Jezebel. The wilderness is where God appeared to Moses at the burning bush. The wilderness is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. The wilderness is where the children of Israel wandered for 40 years. And you're like, well, you were doing good until you got to that. That was a negative thing, right? Children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's talk about this wandering in the wilderness. Scripture says that God led the children of Israel through the wilderness because they weren't yet ready to face what awaited them in Canaan. Now, they could have been to the land of Canaan from Egypt in less than 2 weeks. But it was about a year and a half, before they finally made it to the borders of Canaan and sent the spies in. You remember that story where they sent the spies into Canaan? It was about a year and a half. It took them that long to do something that could have happened in less than 2 weeks. God needed to teach them something. He needed to teach them in that wilderness to trust him. But unfortunately, Israel didn't learn that lesson of trust very well, did they? Because when the 10 spies or the 12 spies came back, they believed the testimony of the 10 over the 2. The 10 who gave the bad report were the ones who had the influence. The 2, Caleb and Joshua, who gave a good report and had faith in God, yes, we can take this, we can do this, God is with us, they didn't listen to them. They didn't learn those lessons that God wanted to teach them in the wilderness quite enough. And as a result, there were consequences. Let's go to Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 32 and 33. shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. That sounds like a very negative thing, right? And in some respects, it was. It was because of the lessons that Israel failed to learn, but they had to wander in that wilderness. But in that wilderness, during those 40 years, God was teaching them. They were learning. Even though those who refused to go into the land of Canaan died in that wilderness, they learned something while they were in that wilderness. The wilderness was God's chosen place to educate them. The wilderness was as far away as he could get them from the influence of the world. And in spite of those negative things that happened there in the wilderness was where God wanted his people. The wilderness was where the scapegoat was led on the Day of Atonement. Remember that? The scapegoat being led out into the wilderness was a symbol of freedom from their sins that they had confessed. It's where the presence of the Lord dwelt with Israel there in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And despite all of their grumbling and all of their complaining, through all of those things, God was teaching them there in the wilderness. The wilderness, although they didn't see it at the time, was the best place for them. Jumping forward many years, the wilderness is where John first introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was where Jesus was tempted by the devil there in the wilderness. And despite all these negative things that are associated with the wilderness, the temptations of Jesus and all of that, that is where God was preparing Jesus for his mission to save you and me. The wilderness was where Jesus fed the 4,000. And 5,000. It's where the good shepherd left the 99 when he went to find the one lost sheep. Let's look at that. Luke 15 and verse 4. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. Parable of the lost sheep. Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now, the lost one was lost in the wilderness, too, okay? But it says that Jesus left the 99 where? In the wilderness. He left them in the wilderness. Why didn't he leave them in the fold? The fold would be safer, right? Do you think? Well, Jesus said, "I am the door to the sheepfold." And if Jesus is out searching for the lost sheep, then who's guarding the door of the sheepfold? Right? Now, you need to understand what the sheepfold was like back then. The sheepfold was like a rock wall, or it may have been made of like briars and thorns and all of that woven together to create a barrier. And there was only one way in and one way out. And that one way in, the shepherd at night would lay down and sleep in the doorway to protect the sheep from any predators, anything that would harm them. But the shepherd's not there, and the sheep are in the sheepfold, and a wolf comes in, or a coyote or whatever, the sheep have nowhere to go. They are captive. They are, we would say, dead meat. So Jesus didn't leave the 99. The shepherd didn't leave the 99 in the fold. He left them in the wilderness where they would be safe. We don't think of a wilderness as a safe place normally, but when you understand about the fold, how it was, and the shepherd's not there guarding the sheep, he leaves them in the wilderness, they're safe. The wilderness was where Paul went after his Damascus Road experience. And he was instructed there in the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. It's where the book of Revelation tells us the woman fled from the dragon. Let's go there, Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. she had a place prepared by who? Prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Jump down to verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the what? The wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth. We could say the earth, the wilderness. The wilderness helped the woman, and the wilderness opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, the wilderness was, in this, it's a place where God's people were protected. It's a place where they were safe. Safe than it would have been anywhere else. And when we think about this, the time that is talked about here, it's that 1,260-year period of papal domination. When we think about those who were persecuted during that time, think about the Waldenses. They were forced to flee into the wilderness, into the barren rocks and the valleys and the cliffs of the mountains. The Scripture tells us that we just read it there in Revelation chapter 12, that the devil sent a flood. Now, water is in Scripture symbolic of people. So the devil sends a flood of people into the wilderness to try and destroy God's people. A flood. Do you remember seeing the pictures of the tsunami that happened in Japan after that? It wiped out everything in its path. It destroyed everything. That's the flood that the devils want to send after God's people, to destroy God's people. But we're told that the wilderness, or the earth in this case, swallowed up the flood. We have many stories of the Waldenses and the Huguenots and those like them where this flood, these armies of people that were sent after God's people to destroy them, that the wilderness itself caused their destruction. There was no fighting between them. Just the ruggedness and the things that are there in that wilderness that are so harsh actually destroyed them as they were trying to see and find God's people to destroy them. The earth did indeed open its mouth and swallow that flood in the wilderness. There are also dangers in the wilderness, right? We talked about some of those already. We're told that the wilderness is where this woman is riding a scarlet-colored beast. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 3. Revelation 17 and verse 3. Now John hears in vision, and he sees this woman riding the beast. Revelation 17 verse 3 says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." So here is this woman riding on the scarlet-colored beast. Now, why would we find this woman, which a woman represents a church? And in this case, it's not God's church. It's an apostate church. And it's riding this beast. The beast represents a nation. And we're told also that she is sitting upon many waters. Waters, again, represent people. So we have this picture here of this apostate church riding this beast, this political power, and also sitting on many waters. So this woman, this church, is controlling the beast who is controlling the people. So the woman, the church, is controlling the people through this beast, right? And it's all happening in the wilderness. Let's look at verse 1, Revelation 17, verse 1. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels, had the seven vials, and talked to me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." There's the waters. There's the waters that this woman and the beast are upon. So John here is shown that this is taking place in the wilderness. Now, we just read that God's people were led into the wilderness, right? As a place of safety, a place of protection. this case, the wilderness, the verses we just read, the wilderness represents this earth. And the wilderness, this earth is a wilderness because it's been devastated by something. What has this earth been devastated by? Sin. So this apostate or religious political power, the papacy, is determined to wipe out God's people by sending those it controls as a flood to destroy them, going back to Revelation chapter 12. But there is help in the world. There's help there. Moses found help in the wilderness. God's people, Israel, found help in the wilderness. Elijah found help in the wilderness. Remember when he ran from Jezebel? An angel brought him food and water. Not once, but twice. David found help in the wilderness. How many times did Saul come after David and was just about to find him when God helped him and something would happen and Saul would leave or David would be delivered? David found help in the wilderness. Paul found help in the wilderness. Paul, the persecutor of God's people, had that Damascus Road experience. He met Jesus on the way to Damascus. And God sent him in the wilderness to be taught of the Holy Spirit. Paul found help in the wilderness. Jesus is in the wilderness. Jesus found help in the wilderness. Remember after the temptations, what happened? After the devil fled, what happened? Angels came and ministered to him. He found help in the wilderness. Moses, Elijah, David, Paul, even Jesus found a closer connection to the Father, to God in the wilderness. So you see a place, or the wilderness rather, is a place where the distractions of the world are absent. John the Baptist spent his whole life in the wilderness. Without the distractions of the world, the wilderness is a place where we can hear that still small voice. Holy Spirit, just as Elijah, still small voice of God. Wilderness is a place where we can see and we can hear God more clearly. Have you felt that you're wandering in the wilderness sometimes? Has that feeling of just total abandonment, just total loss that you have nothing, you have no one, there's just that loss of everything. Have you felt like you're all alone? Have you had that feeling that you just want to escape the wilderness? You want to get out of the wilderness? Don't follow your feelings. Follow the Word of God. What would happen if all the people we've talked about, if that's their feelings, they just want to escape the wilderness? They wouldn't have found the help to be. They wouldn't have been instructed by God. They wouldn't have been taught of Him. Don't trust your feelings that you want to escape the wilderness. Trust the Word of God that He will help you in that wilderness. Rely upon the Word of God. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6. God speaking to us through Jeremiah says, "My people have been lost sheep." After that parable of the lost sheep. "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains," or we could say in the wilderness. "They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." My question for each one of us today is, have we forgotten? Have we forgotten that the wilderness may be our resting place? It doesn't matter where you are. If the shepherd is around, whether it's the wilderness or anywhere else, if the shepherd is there, He will protect you. Jesus is searching for each one of us in our wilderness. Whatever wilderness we happen to find ourselves in, Jesus is searching for us there, and He will find us there. And He's allowed you to be there so that you will realize that Revelation 12. He's prepared a place for you there so you can connect with him, or he can connect with you. Deuteronomy 1, verse 31, our text for this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31. As I read this verse, I think of that little story called Footprints in the Sand, a little poem, where there's one set of footprints, and the man says, "Lord, you know, why were you not with me during those times?" He says, "That's the time of faith." Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. "And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bears thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place, God is bearing us. He is holding us up from the day we were born until the day we die. God is with us. He is bearing us up, lest we dash our foot against the stone. He knows where you are. If you're in the wilderness, he knows where you are. He has allowed you to be there because he wants to have a connection with you that can only be made in that wilderness. Yes, there are dangers, but the shepherd is there to protect you. He'll find you there, and he'll bring you back safely into the fold. And he will be there in the door to guard you so that nothing will happen. Have you felt leave the wilderness? You can stay there with Jesus. I want to stay wherever Jesus is. If it's in the wilderness, that's fine. If it's in the city, that's fine. Wherever it is,